Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it. Go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
To the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast.
Hi, podcast. Kids!
It's the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast.
Boop, boop.
Maybe I'll make like a 50s theme song one day. Make it like a
Dennis the Menace type.
Yeah, or like, you know, a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. I don't know. But anyway, it's nice to be back. No guests on the show tonight, Berlo.
Nope.
Nothing. Nobody entertaining is coming on the show besides me and you, and that is, as I know, mildly entertaining.
Yeah. Well, Obi's here just in case we get into emergency mode.
Obi is here, naturally, the third mic, as we call him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really need a mic. He gets on every mic. Yes, it's nice to be back. We are just coming off, our last episode was with Tooth Grinder, which is... sounds awesome, which was a progressive metal band on Spine Farm Records, and that came out really well, and they were a lot of fun to talk to, a lot of touring stories, and just joking around. So that
a lot
was
of fun, those two, three guys. I find myself always doing the Holy Diver song using their name. It just fits so well.
Tooth Grinder, they've been down too long in the DMC.
Yeah.
Oh, what's becoming of me?
You think they can get that band?
They gotta get away.
You think they can get that band to intro them up to stage?
You know probably. Maybe maybe soon. You know Killswitch Engage?
I've heard of them.
They do a pretty awesome cover of Holy Diver. I'll try to bring that up in a minute. But we are also coming out of... just this past Sunday, the third Verbal Shenanigans comedy show.
Yeah, another great night, buddy.
Another great night. Very proud. Crowd was packed. The room was packed. I think there was one or two seats empty. There's 50-something people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Energetic crowd this time. A little heckling going on.
Very talkative.
A little bit of a different animal. I went up with almost a little nervous this time because I didn't have a lot of newer material ready, and I knew a lot of those people heard some of my stuff already. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm the host, so I'm gonna just try to kind of ease them into it and just do it. You know?
You just substitute certain words instead of saying like water heater, you say the downstairs freezer,
mm-hmm.
stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. They'll never see it coming.
But what was nice was
some fan support. Dom Bagnotto, your little shout out again on the podcast, and his fiance Kim came on out.
Somewhere right now, he's like driving, and this podcast is playing. He's like, oh, they mentioned me! They mentioned me! Holy shit!
What would be crazy if somewhere right now this podcast was playing, considering it's not live?
Well, you know, I bought a satellite. You never use it half the time. I had to plug it in myself.
I got this mixing. No, but Dom and his fiance, soon to be wife, came out, and his fiance won the 50-50, which was cool. That's the second time someone close to me won it. I'm starting to think people are going to think it's rigged, but last time my cousin won it. So we raised a little bit of money for the Dover Firemen. Hopefully in the future might be doing a gig for the Dover Firemen. Mm. So that could be an outlet. I went up. My set was... I would give it like a 5 out of 10. It was good. It was fun.
Maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was good.
Five is pretty much closer to bad than good. So if you think it was average, I would say about 7.
Okay, then yeah, it was an average set. Didn't crush, but it's very. I mean, I'm making excuses. I know it sounds like, but it's very hard to crush in a hosting spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have some fun with some new material. I thought the Chris Christie stuff was funny, and I did get some crowd play in there, and they got a little rowdy. Mike Jenkins went up, did a pretty good job. And then Ritu went up and crushed, man. They loved her. They loved her. And she's kind of a great person to put in the middle of shows because she really, like, varies it up instead of a bunch of dudes talking about their cocks and sex jokes and stuff. It's, like, coming from a Indian mother woman, you know? Like, so she's very much developing her act and
better. Hear... Like, when she does any kind of shows, everybody's saying, damn, you crushed it. You did a great job. She's keeping it up, man. She's an up-and-comer.
Yep. And she's been on the podcast, and I'm sure we'll get her on again. And then Joe and Rich go up, and they're just so much fun to watch because what people don't understand, that's just not rehearsed. I mean, yeah, but they practice probably, but, you know, every night is so different. Like, I feel like the bomb ratio is so much harder there, like, because it's just... If people aren't into it, they're just going to sit there and stare at you, and you need the crowd to be on your side. So as a host, I was really trying to almost mention that throughout the show, like, we're going to need you later, we're going to need your support, we're going to need you up, and, you know.
And I guess, it's funny, the first person they brought up to the stage was, like, the one person who didn't want to go up.
But it was the one person, the first person I played with in the show, because she came up to me, she came up to me before the show, and she... She's like, oh, you're the comic? I'm like, yeah, I'm the kind of the guy that put this all together. And she grabs me by the chin, by my beard, and she's like, you better be fucking funny. I'm like, the comics will be. I'll try. but I decided to use that when I went up. I'm like, you know, Dover's a mixed crowd. One woman hugged me. The next woman looked me straight in the face and said, you better be fucking funny. So we'll see what happens tonight, you know?
Would have been funny if you were having, like, an average set and she just walked up to the stage and punched you in the gut. You know, it's like, what did I tell you? What did I fucking tell you?
I run Dover. but
Michelle is not amused.
So, like, it felt good. I think I got some good crowd jokes in there off the cuff. So I was happy with that. The teaching stuff, you know, I went with it because of the time period it was. And I haven't flushed out the other stuff lately too much. So I was kind of pigeonholed into it a little bit. And I figured it was the day before school starting, so it was a good segue. And that went pretty well. I wasn't mad. And it was nice, but also, I'm kind of all over the place here, but the crowd support thing was cool because my brother and his wife came out.
Mm-hmm.
A couple friends came out. Joe Fernandez came by. So it was, you know, nice to see some comics come out and
some
friends.
Well, you kind of forgot our headliner who just destroyed the place.
I didn't get there yet. Didn't get there. So Rich and Joe go up, have a good time. And I think the crowd really liked it. My brother loved them. He said they were hilarious. And then Gaffney goes up. Now, I didn't even tell Gaffney. When we were going to podcast with them, I decided not to. It was a busy day to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I had a late night the night before. And I didn't want to take up their time like, hey, you're on a show tonight, so come podcast for 2 hours. And then, you know, spend the whole day with me, you know.
Yeah, so, and I was doing work in that morning, so I was less in conversational mode that day.
So right away, Gaffney got me because it was like 7:30 when I tried to have everyone there, and I Facebook message him. I'm like, oh, I just want to know if you're on your way. And he's like, on my way to what? And I'm like, I know you're kidding. But he stayed with it. He's like, wait, that's tonight? And I'm like, and then he's like, I'm like, yeah, you better be kidding. I think I just pooed myself. And he's like, oh, dude, since you canceled the podcast, the show was off too. And I'm like, you bastard. So Gaffney gets there. And I can't say enough. He ripped that place to shreds, man.
Mm-hmm.
He ripped the whole place was roaring, you know, like. And I haven't seen him in a long time, but I was going to tell him on the podcast a long, long time ago. Joe had asked me to go to the Stress Factory and film like a set. They were all like kind of newer at the time. So it was like Gaffney, him, I think it was Conti. I filmed it and I messed it up. And there was something up with my camera was in the wrong setting. So I messed it up and I think the video was terrible. So I probably ruined that for them. I think they wanted to make like a DVD or something. So that was me. But years later, I got to book the guy. And just a real down-to-earth guy. You know, I listen to their podcast, so I feel like I know him a little bit because I do hear their life stories and stuff. But, you know, he's at such a different level than you and I are at, or even, like, you know, other people on the show. It's just the command of the room. I told him at the end of the night, I said, you know, one thing I was so impressed with is how he could get that room pin quiet. And I've heard comics say that before, like, that is the pure sign of controlling a room, when you can get them quiet, not laughing, when you can get them all just focused on what you're telling them. And he would get that, and then they'd just be like, bam, like, whoa, you know, this roar. He was impressive, man.
Well, one of my favorite jokes was just how he even, like, controlled the crowd, how, like, some guy yelled up something on stage, and he's like, let me just ask you people a question here. Does it look like I need help up here? Am I really looking that bad? Because I don't think I came here looking for crowd assistance or something like that. And they were just dying, and that's when they finally got in the hit. It's like, all right, I'm going to.
Ritu did a nice job of controlling a couple of the guys, too. Mm-hmm. And then that firefighter guy, I took a – there he is, folks, Obi. I took a cue from her, and I kind of tried to shut him down during the 50-50. I'm like, oh, sir, you know, like, since you're talking the whole time, the 50-50 is for the firemen, and I know you guys need money for your calendar. Hopefully you're not on it. But, it went really well. I hope to work with Gaffney again, Joe and Rich again. I'm sure I'll work with Ritu again. But a couple firemen came up to me after the show. They're like, we want those guys again, like, for our show. I'm like, well, we'll see. You know, Gaffney was kind of – it was kind of a magic date that fell, like, that he didn't have anything going. And I wish I could have paid them more, but overall, it was a hell of a night. And again, there's these two people that the three shows are so appreciative. Every time I walk in, they're like, oh, my God, hey – how you doing? They're like, we're so glad you're here again. The guy comes up, gives me a hug. The woman's like, hi. And they're like, oh, buy him a drink. Like, and that's like what it's all about, you know? Like, and it's like, hopefully that room will build and like be like kind of a community room, you know?
I think I kind of know who you're talking about, because if I somewhat recall, I came in there one time with you and we were talking with them, and the woman's like, oh, you were on the show?
Yep.
That is the greatest sign of a comedian.
You're like a little bit older. He has a goatee. Nicest guy in the world. I wish I could remember his name, but that is why I do it. And like I was talking to you right before we started here, this whole thing is not to make thousands of dollars, because trust me, I'm not making thousands of dollars. In fact,
I'm a little short there that night.
Yeah, spent a lot of money. And you know me, I try my best to take care of the comics, get them fed. I got paid. I came out and I paid everyone that helped, like whether it was you, whether it was the people that the comics. I always give them extra money than I guaranteed them, taking it out of my take. So it's for me, this is trying to build, one, the brand, two, just for people to have a good time and build a room, because there's nothing up here in Northwest Jersey whatsoever. And I'm hoping Table 42 will continue. We got some talks about maybe something in November. And overall, a good night for Verbal Shenanigans. And got some nice mentions on Facebook. And it was good.
Yeah, definitely. That's what's half the fun, y'all, just spanning out. And not just the podcast, doing this, going to the events and doing the podcast, doing the stand-up comedy. That's how you grow your brand. That's how you get people to start looking for you.
Well, like, just listening to, like, you know, I listen to a bunch of podcasts and comics and stuff like that. It's just, nowadays, you're not going to become big or popular or very rarely just doing stand-up. You got to diversify. You got to have different outlets, whether it is a podcast, whether it is making stupid videos and putting them up, whether it is, you know, having a blog or something that people laugh at. You have to, because it's not like the 80s where it was like the clubs are just booming and you go see the hottest talent everywhere. You know, it's like...
Oh, yeah. There's so much competition with cable, movies, I mean, so many different events. And it's near impossible to stand out in the comedy when doing a stand-up. Even like the big times, like the Stress Factories and even the Comedy Cove, it's hard to stand out for a nightly event, and you have to go out of your way to do things. And then when you're one of the talents, again, you can't just rely on that one night unless you're somebody up there.
Yep. And not only that, it's like people don't realize it. Like, this is what I always say. I talk to you about it a lot. I hate comics, especially that are at our level or okay, whatever our level is, okay, which is nothing, or a little bit above our level. And there's ego comes in. There are thousands and thousands of comics all doing open mics plus getting a few shows here and there. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together, man. Like, we're all, like, I hate this competition. Yeah, maybe there's natural competition. Like, I want to be the funniest guy on the show. That's, if you don't want to be, there's something wrong with you.
No, you lost.
But I hate this ego that builds on some people who are nobodies like me and you. Like, who are just, and if you don't enjoy it, like, the comedy part of it, the getting up and performing and writing, like, maybe it's not for you. Because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to get anywhere first off, unless by some miracle, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, and some of the ego is just all talking about, I mean, somebody's up there, they're having a good set. I mean, whether you're friends with them or not, you sit back and go, hey, they're pretty good. And then you get these people, they're not that funny. I've heard that before. They're lowering themselves to do this, and it's just so insane. Or the best is, that's a form of my joke. And it's like, all he said was sidewalk. Yeah, remember my sidewalk joke?
I mean, that's what I like about me and you. We are, I consider ourselves extremely humble comedians. Like, we say whoever had a good set, like, we don't dislike too many people. I just, the only time I'll ever talk about comics is pretty much with you, and I'll be like, you know, his ego's a little out of control. Like, you know, there's people, both you and me, know that you're like, dude, okay, you got a great show one time. Like, is it consistent? Are you getting paid? Are you, you know, I don't know. It drives me crazy. Like, just have fun while you're there, because we're all there making sometimes, most of the time, nothing, if not maybe $20 here and there, you know.
I mean, the best comedians I hang out with are the ones who are not sitting back going, I'm the greatest. Mm-hmm. And the ones who's, I'm the funniest guy in the room. Yeah, those are ones you generally don't want to talk to, because it's just all about ego. And, you know, I just want to know the people. So.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have an ego in this game. Like, you're playing a glorified laundromat or a bar or, you know, like, just have fun with it. And, you know, like, the guys that, and learn from the guys who do get the gigs and stuff like that. I've had great experiences with headliners. The headliners I have hired for these shows are, two of them are very close friends. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the other guys I've hired are usually friends. And then, and Gaffney, who I don't know too well, humble guy, you know, like, I've heard him on the podcast. He sounds just like he sounds in person, you know. It's not, no ego. The guy's been on, you know, national television, like, you know. He's still got to take a day job here and there, and, you know, he's touring all over the globe. You know, he's still trying to grind through it, you know? It's I don't know.
I mean, everyone that's been on our your lineups is pretty much people I'd go, I'd sit down and have a beer with that person. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to go up there, well, you know what I did.
Well, don't have a beer with Jenkins, Fernandez, Gaffney.
No.
You
want to sit with the Burles, you drink alcohol. There's an AA meeting down the road. You can fix yourself after you talk to me. All
so,
right?
So you'll be sitting alone then?
No, everybody. No,
or me and you. I know. It'll be me and you again. But that joke was that all those guys are multiple years recovery, like 10, 20, 25 years in, like, recovery. So
No beers. but anyway, so Table 42, great success, and very happy about that. This is Killswitch's version of Holy Diver.
All right, I'm digging it.
It's pretty awesome. Listen to it. Yeah.
Coming to the stage.
Maybe I'll come out to this.
Crystal.
Yeah, right? Ride the Tiger. That's my favorite line of that song. Ride the Tiger. But, Burla, what have you been up to?
Work. Getting sick. Work.
Yeah, you've had one of those crazy work weeks that you have time to time.
Yeah. I've been trying to get the Greg Oliver episode out to people, and I've been having a lot of calls waking me up. Like last night, I started doing some tweeting, and I'm like, I'm just too dead. I'll work on stuff tomorrow, and I fall asleep. And you kind of know the story with me. Like every time I hear the phone, it's just regret. I mean, before I even look, it's
hey, Rakesh.
It's just absolute angst. So 12, I got a call around 11 o'clock about some issue with a client.
In a way, you're like a doctor. Like you're on call. Like you're like a computer doctor.
I am, with the difference being doctors are respected and paid a lot.
Yeah. And then you're you're just the guy.
Neither.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got called for something at around 11, and I'm like, all right, you know, just how many people are affected? He's like 3. I'm like, all right, just troubleshoot a call, a couple of vendors, see what you can do.
Even more like a doctor. How many people are affected?
Mm-hmm. Then around 12:30, I got a call again, and my guy called me back. He's like, well, the client wants to have a conference call to discuss kind of things. And that went on from like 12:30 to 4, and there was a lot of back and forth. I still think it's something weird with like within country with either a client or their vendors that they're using. But the point is, I mean, I was just out of it. Then I fell asleep, and I woke up at 9 o'clock, and I did a full day. So it's just half the fun.
So it's one of those draining weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the most fun I had was my Facebook status on Sunday before the show, where
that's on my list today.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that now.
Yeah.
If you Berlo's big Walking Dead fan, for what, about a year now, you've been doing.
I would say longer than that. I've been doing it for probably about 3 years.
Whoa! Who has the big dick here?
Well, I mean, I don't like to brag, but
So Berlo does a thing called Tonight on the Walking Dead, which is kind of a, I guess you wouldn't call it satirical. It's just like a comedy, like a funny
satire.
Things. Yeah, a satire, that
a spoof, if you will.
Well, satire and satirical are kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
spoof then.
Spoof. Yes, a spoof predictions on what's going to happen the night before based on the week before. Right, that's a good way to describe. And he does these things where he posts them, and they're pretty funny if you watch the show, and a lot of times they're just ridiculous. And, Berlo, you've been excommunicated.
Yeah, I was in one of the groups, one of the Fear of the Walking Dead groups on Facebook. I'm in one Walking Dead and a couple of the other ones, but when I posted, I put it in my comedy page, and then I share it out. It's twofold. It's, you know, getting in ready for the episode and to kind of promote my comedy page just to get the word out. And there's two Fear Walking Dead pages. I put one up last week. Nobody had any complaints about it. Obviously, it's a pilot episode, so there's no background to it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it this week. And after I posted it, one of the pages is like, hey, isn't this a spoiler? And I replied back. I'm like, no, it's not a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have phrases in there like pizza face and what was the other ones? I can kind of look at it. It's pretty ridiculous stuff I put out there.
Yes.
I'd talk about how the one kid is drugged out and just driving into, like, light poles and all that stuff. Clearly, it wouldn't be in the episode. So that's how I replied. All of a sudden, I noticed my post got taken down.
Wait.
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah. The drama.
Let's make it a little bit more dramatic here.
So I... you might want to hit the refresh button there. Yep.
I'm on it. You just tell the story.
All right, so I go back into the page and...
Wait, what?
Coral! And I put a post in there. I'm like, hey, you know, I put this in other, you know, groups. They know what it is. It's not a spoiler in any way. I have no clue what's coming up. I don't like looking at spoilers.
You don't?
No. And I said, you know, if the admins have a problem, can you just let me know? And then a minute later, I got kicked out of the group.
Rick!
You got kicked out of the group?
Yeah.
Now, why do you think you got kicked out of the group?
Because people are stupid enough to think I'm putting up spoilers.
So this is upsetting then?
A little bit, because like I said, I mean, how I get most of my looks on my page to try to get more people to like it and want to put more material up on there, you know, it's a loss. I mean, last week I had, I think it said my thing said 760 views. Right. This week it went down 100, which is not atrocious, but it's still kind of like, okay, the series is building. I would like to put it out everywhere I can.
Right.
And a very stupid person can't really look at what I put up there.
So, maybe the way around it is to, like, create other Facebooks and just keep posting them in there.
I kind of thought about it, but I said to myself, you know, there's anger and then there's just obsession, and that's in the obsession level. It's just...
So is this, like, the end-all, be-all of Walking Dead clubs or fan pages?
No, like, I'm in the original Walking Dead one. Like I said, I've been doing that for, like, 3 years before this show happened. And then there's one other Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, they kind of get what I'm doing there. So it's not the end of the world. It's irony with the show.
Why hum it when I have it here?
But again, it's one of those, are you kidding me? It's more aggravating as in, how stupid are you?
Coral. How stupid are you?
Yeah, so that's a little ridiculous. It's kind of a bummer, but, you know, you'll find other outlets for it.
Yep, yep. And also on that day, along with working at 5:45 in the morning, I ripped the crotch in my pants.
Yes! Yes.
The only good news is I did it while I was around you and you didn't notice.
When'd you do it?
When we got into your truck, leaving table 42.
So leaving... Yeah, between the show.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, my pants were a little baggy, so I'm not sure if, like, my foot was on the leg where when I stepped up, it ripped a little bit.
No,
but
here's a question. you were like, when we were in the car, you're like, yeah, I think I got to go home and maybe change and stuff. Was that the reason?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only reason, because I was sitting back. I'm like, all right, I'm doing that. I'm going to write up my Fear of the Walking Dead tonight on Fear the Walking Dead. I'm going to do some of my work stuff that I have to do. Yeah, this is fine. And I'll just leave with you from there. And then...
How big are we talking? Like inches?
I would probably say about index finger.
Okay, so big enough for the boys to hang out. If
enough to notice and see my underwear, so...
God, I should have just... If I knew that, it should have been like, you're on tonight. You're hosting. All the people looking up.
Berlu!
You're hosting, man. I'm not feeling good.
That would have been awesome, but dickish. I can totally see you, dude.
No, Berlu, you're on tonight. Your thoughts?
Oh, my God. I got to rip in my pants, Carl. Honey...
The walker's trying to kill me, and my balls are hanging out, Coral.
I got 50 people looking at me, judging me. My cock is hanging out.
But While we're on the topic, what did you think of the pilot episode of Fear the Walking Dead?
I've seen both episodes.
I didn't see the second yet.
I like both episodes.
Don't spoil too much.
I won't. Well, don't look at my post, so.
Oh.
Because that's a pure spoiler.
Well, if I was in the... I would have, but I'm in the group, so...
You're the one who complained. Get this idiot out of here.
The big reveal. It was me!
Shane! No, I think the pilot episode was a little bit slow, but
It was a little slow, but it was also like, what, an hour and a half or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, you're getting like the purest form initial stuff. It's not like when you look at Walking Dead, when Rick walks up, it's like the world's already over. They know it's over, right. So that's how they react.
They have a lead up.
Yeah. This one, I kind of like it because kind of like it says in the title, they're more fearful. Like, what the hell's going on? What do I do? They don't initially see them and like, oh, let's get it. Let's take care of it. It's like, what is it? What could happen? Why are the cops shooting them? And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
Right, so you already have some knowledge, but they still got to build that up in show as a separate show, you know? I liked it. I thought it started picking up. I thought it developed well. You know, we'll see. I liked some of the characters. I think the drug addict kids, it could be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the black guy, too, I thought could be pretty interesting. The dealer or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought he could be interesting, but yeah, it was. I thought it was entertaining. I think. I mean, any spinoff, there's always going to be a spinoff. It's going to always take a while to win people over because it's always going to be compared to The Walking Dead or whatever it is. They're always going to be like, well, you know,
for the best way to put it, for every CSI Miami and. Law and Order SVU, there's a Joey. So right now I'm leaning more towards SVU than Joey.
Right. And Joey. But also, my opinion on The Walking Dead, too, is like everyone forgets. There's some big downer episodes in every season of Walking Dead, too. It's not this perfect show. It's just the show remains good because it, usually it's the way it begins and the way it ends for me. Like, it's always like, all right, well, they got me for another season. Like, like there's been many times in the middle of seasons I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, I can't go on anymore.
And sometimes they really...
With these solo episodes, I'm done. but, like, there, especially I think it was two seasons ago where they did the... like solo episodes of like five characters or whatever, or
yeah,
a couple
when
characters
they left the prison
where you didn't see Rick for like six episodes, or whatever. I was like, oh my god, like we care about four people a lot, a couple people a little bit more, and then there's some people we don't care about at all. Just kill them.
Another Beth episode. What the hell?
Oh yeah, exactly. I don't want to see Beth singing. So The Walking Dead is not perfect. It's just entertaining, you know. It's like,
and when they get you. You're calling people. You're texting. What the fuck?
Right. You know. The first two episodes are always going to be like these crazy. At least lately, anyway, they're going to be these crazy episodes. And then the last, you know, they always seem to end pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
The finales always seem pretty good,
exactly.
For the most part. I mean, I can't remember all of them, but they do seem they keep me going. And it's, I like that it's on Sunday too. It's like, well.
It's something to look forward to. Like Sunday night, you should be going, ugh, going back to work, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, Walking Dead.
Yeah, AMC got that, man. Breaking Bad, man.
Breaking Bad.
I was like, oh my God.
Walking Dead. Fear of Walking Dead. And, well, Better Call Saul was on Mondays, but I think they're moving into Sundays. When
and Comic Book Man, dude. Your favorite show.
Yeah.
Listen, we have to be supportive of Comic Book Man because we have to get the Greg Oliver episode
out. I don't have anything against Kevin Smith or those guys. I like those guys. I'm not a huge fan of reality shows, and I really cannot say when I can see clearly how much staging is involved with some of these reality shows.
I think there's going to be like a thing I'm going to have ready all the time. But yeah,
we'll be in your car one day. Yo, did you see that Redskins game, man? I really
How'd you do that?
Got installed. It's a button. A button on the.
Cost me $3,000. And it was worth it.
$3,000. I can't afford lunch, but
it was well worth it. I feed off of your angst when you hear it.
I just took a pension loan to get this installed. What were we saying?
I hate staged reality.
Yeah. Show. Oh, it's completely staged. I don't like. I like those guys' podcasts, to be honest. Tell them Steve Dave. I think they're very interesting people. And I'm a big fan of Practical Jokers, too. And that kind of, it kind of all ties in. Kevin Smith actually annoys me a lot sometimes. Really? He hasn't done anything good in, I can't even remember.
I'd say Clerks 2 is the last one I remember.
Yeah, and Clerks 2 is good. It's not like a classic. It's funny.
It's a nice addition to Clerks 1, but you're right. Going to remember more Clerks 1 than 2.
Right. You're never going to recreate that. And it's like, I feel like whenever his newest thing bombs, which it always does,
The last one he did, that Tusk movie?
Oh, yeah, I heard it was terrible. I didn't see it.
The one where they kidnap, who's that actor?
I don't know, the guy from Waiting and all those other ones.
Yeah, but they kidnap him and the guy is basically kidnapped him to make him like a walrus man.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Human Centipede-ish, you know, like they kidnap him and change him into something. I heard that was terrible. And I don't know, like
Justin Long, by the way.
Yeah, Jersey Girl and all these like ridiculous movies, and I feel like every time he throws a bomb out there, he's like, "Okay, I better go back and make Jay and Silent Bob does something, or I better make Clerks 3, or I better." Like he goes back to his successes, which are now approaching what? Mallrats. Mallrats. Clerks have to be 20 years now.
Yeah, let me let's bring up Kevin Smith. Let's see the last one we really...
At least 15. It's got to be.
Okay.
Clerks is what, 94? 95?
Apparently, let's see. This year, there's a movie called Holidays. Next year, there's one going to be called Yoga Hosers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Tusk, Red State, Cop Out, Zach and Mira Make a Porno, Clerks 2.
Mildly entertaining.
I wasn't a big fan of great. That. Clerks 2 was 2006, Jersey Girl 2004, Jay and Silent Bob, Strike Back 2001.
Pretty bad.
Dogma 1999.
Liked Dogma a lot.
So that's the last one. I can say, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
if it's on, I'm going to be like, I want to see that.
I feel like, that's what I feel like with him, with whatever that weird thing you just said, Hoosier, whatever, Yoga Hoosier.
Yoga Hosers.
Like, he'll be like, that bomb, well, let's make Dogma 2. You know, like, let's let's get the audience that I have.
Let's make Dogma.
Dogma.
Dogma X.
All right.
I don't believe in angels.
Speaking of making things, we were talking about the other day. We just got in conversation. I would love to make a sketch or like a short film. But we were talking about a Marcelo Balboa interview on the IT soccer team. I would love to make a small, either it's like a tiny web series or one episode of the IT Cup. Remember we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's the IT team, like rival IT teams in a soccer tournament, you know, like going for gold. Yeah, I think it's gold. That's a great idea. Don't steal it, please. You heard it here on September 2nd or something, whatever it is.
Second.
but yeah, I would like to do that. But yeah, Kevin Smith, you know, I don't feel like he's done a lot of great stuff in a long time. I think he's overrated. I think he's a little cocky sometimes. But I like some stuff in his universe, I guess you should call that. But I don't know. Mixed reviews.
Gotcha.
Mixed reviews.
C-minus superstar.
All right. Let's see. I wanted to tell... Okay. So over the weekend, I wanted to do something different. And I you ever see those... I know they have a bunch in the city. There's a room. You got to escape a room.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
So I decided I didn't want to go to the city. So I looked up some in New Jersey and I found a whole bunch. There's some in Montclair and there's some in Wayne. And I found a Groupon and I took a friend over to it was the one in Montclair. And I didn't know what to expect. Okay. So I was like, okay, this could go two ways. It could be extremely awful or like a lot of fun, you know, like middle ground, I don't know. And so I get there and No, Montclair has like a main road. I was thinking it was like going to be like one of those kind of like window, like storefront kind of properties. And it's not. And it's on this side street. We get there, we're walking. The street's closed, so there's construction going on. And we go to like a lawyer's office. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Those are the best places to get yourself locked into.
Yeah. Yeah, locked into a lawyer's office.
It'd be great if, like, you get locked in a room, you're figuring it's going to be some game, and, like, some guy comes out talking about timeshares.
You need to leave here with one. So we get there, and there's a sign on it that says exit strategy. I'm like, okay, cool. And it's in the basement of, like, a lawyer's office. I'm like, this could be bad. Okay. This could be bad. So we get there, and we wait around for a while. He's like, look, we're waiting for some other people. Because there's like, basically the concept of it is you have, you know, a bunch of people. You get in a room, you got to figure out clues and stuff like that to get out of the room. And you have an hour to get out. So I'm like, I'm going to get out. I'm going to fucking get out. No problem. I'm smart.
I solved a Rubik's Cube once.
I can never do that ever.
I can't either.
Rubik's Cube, I got two colors together. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Two colors.
I'm always the same way. Like when I first get one, you know, you twist it like four ways, and then you remember it back. And then you twist it like five ways. All right, you remember it back. And then you do the stupid thing. All right, I'm going to turn my head, and then you spin it like 12 times. And then pretty much you'll never...
I might have told this on the podcast before, but when I was teaching, there was a kid, he definitely had like Asperger's or something like that. He was able to solve Rubik's Cubes in like under a minute. Like, and you could like he could do stuff behind his back. And it was absolutely one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. Apparently, there's like tournaments and stuff like that, and they solve them in like 20 seconds, stuff like that. People do it with their feet, you know. I heard actually on the What Say You podcast, they were talking about that one day. So I get to exit strategy, and we go in, and they put you in a room. And
how many people with you?
Eight, okay. Which is good. That's the max, which is good because you can't like cram 20 people in there.
And it's you, your friend, and then like. Three other couples?
There was like a group of four and a group of two.
Okay.
So we get there, all nice people. And, you know, it's always this kind of like weird, like, oh, I hope I like the people. They're not completely strange.
Oh, that'd be horrible. You're locked in a room with like the biggest dick in the world.
Mm-hmm. You're locked in with like a couple clan members or something, you know. I can't get this lock off. I'll shoot it. So we get in, then they put on a video. Now, the video there was this... very wealthy son. His dad went missing. His dad was a senator. And you had to figure out the clues on why he's missing and stuff like that. Very cool, you know. So we go into the room. They lock us in. And on the TV, there's a timer. It says 1 hour. You know, like there's a TV and it counts it down. Pretty cool. And now you get to... now that you can tell there's locks on certain things. So the first thing is finding keys.
Okay.
And... I'm not going to go into details because in the end, this was a great experience. So I don't want to like be like, this is what you had to do. Mm-hmm. But basically, you go through all these things and you find different codes and stuff like that and like numbers. And you look through the guy's planner and look under things and find keys and unlock locks. And very cool. At one point, I found like when I first got there, like... in the first 10 minutes, the other people were, like, solving things, and I started feeling incredibly stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how'd you guys get that? Like, can someone... Wait, where'd you get that number?
We turned the knob.
Yeah. We opened the door.
To solve the puzzle, you just knock on the door. Hey, can you let me out?
Okay.
You guys win. Here's the senator. So we're doing it. So... then after a while, there's all these like kind of encryption things, and I'm working on that for like 10 minutes. I'm like, this is stupid. So I go to another thing. There's like a book with a code in it. I figure out the code, and I had gotten the key to unlock the secret bookcase, which opens to another room. So I felt real pumped, and they were like, oh, how'd you get that? Because we were stumped for a while.
Yeah.
And it's cool because like 10 minutes in, that vibe starts to happen when you're actually getting along with the people in the room. Like, how'd you get that? Like, what'd you find? Blah, 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 blah. I got a key. I got a lock. I got this. And you start to like really, you know, gel as a group. So we go in the other room and we got a whole bunch of things quickly. And then we got stuck on this one lock for a long time. And now during it, on the wall, the TV's there. And every once in a while, the guy will give you clues. Like, hey, someone else should try this. Or maybe you shouldn't. Look at the number, but the picture or something like that. You know, like there's different things on the wall. And we thought we were really rolling for a while, and then there was about 15 minutes left, and we could not get anything for a while. We're looking all over the place, and there's like baseball cards on the wall that you have to look at and stuff like that. And long story short, we didn't make it. We did not escape. I was pissed because I hate losing. I'm an incredibly sore loser. Always very competitive, whether it's from beer pong to soccer to anything. But
I was hoping you were going to play The Walking Dead.
We couldn't get out.
We didn't get out.
It wasn't the senator. It was the governor.
And turns out they executed the other six people. And now, and, yeah. But anyway, we didn't get out. But one hell of an experience, man. It was, I want to bring a group of like eight comedians into it. I think that'd be hilarious because we...
I think that'd be a great podcast.
That's kind of it. Like almost if we had the recorder record it and just play clips during it, like afterwards and then talk about it.
Don't give out the results, right. But just us, probably the eight of us would be yelling at each other more than
a lot of
getting
yelling.
Along.
A lot of yelling. So I figured out like two or three really main clues. So I felt good about myself, but we didn't get out. We thought we were a whole lot closer. So at the end, the guy comes in and tells you what you did wrong, okay. And or what you should have been looking for and stuff like that. Really good experience. I recommend it highly. Frustrating at times, but it definitely put. I always like. I'm kind of a nerd. I love board games. I always love like Clue and stuff like that. So it was kind of like living that. And it was cool because it's like team building with six other people. By the time you get out, you're all like, oh, man, that was cool. Like, way to figure that one out. And, like, at the end, I almost wanted to get the six people's numbers because they have three other rooms in Wayne. And
oh, nice.
I almost wanted to get their numbers and be like, you guys want to go as a group again? And if, but I didn't because that'd be I'd probably be weird. But I do want to go back, and I would promote Exit Strategy. I did contact them about maybe possible sponsorship or working with them, but... I would recommend them without nothing to gain. I would say if you guys are looking for something to do, it's called Exit Strategy. They have three rooms. Apparently, they have three rooms in Wayne. One's like a speakeasy. One's like a Cold War thing. And one's something else. And definitely looking forward to do it again. And if you go on Groupon, trust me, Groupon does not sponsor the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. I think they're doing all right. If you go on Groupon, you can get it. I think it was $45 for two people.
Nice.
Not a bad way to spend an afternoon, you know, doing something different. Something that doesn't involve going out to eat or drinking or anything like that. It's just something fun. So
I almost kind of wish all the rooms were in one same building. So, like, you saw the puzzle, you get out, yeah, finally! And then you just walk into another locked room.
Yeah, here's the thing. I always wondered, like, now that, like, the problem is, like, I would highly doubt that people would go to the same room again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay.
Maybe to impress a date.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I don't know how we're going to get out there. Look at the boat. 6419.
We, you guys got out in 11 minutes.
Like, the guy gets on the TV. What the hell? You? That's impossible.
Okay. But I thought the best thing, I want to work part time at this place. And you get to, like, because he obviously we're mic'd up, like, there's a mic in the room and a camera, because he was sending clues, like, as it was going. I want to hear some of the ridiculous suggestions people have. Like, let's blow the wall, like, blow it up. I got a lighter. Like, you know, like.
Like, I wonder if somebody got, like, claustrophobic and started, like, freaking out.
Yeah, well, there is an emergency. There is, like, a pat, like, you can get out, like, you hit the red button.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you got a. I guess shit yourself or heart of a heart
That's
attack.
That's how I'd solve the puzzle. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. They you, open the door. Ha ha!
You look at the
out.
First clue, be like, I don't get it. I'm out of here.
Open the book? What?
Open the book. He might. What? I just.
There's no such thing.
Where's the Twitter part?
Hashtag cocaine.
Highly recommended. Loved it. We'll go back again. We'll be going to a Wayne room, and maybe we can get, maybe we can make something of it and then podcast about it or something. So it's something on the back burner. Highly recommend it. Do it if you live in New Jersey.
You brought up Clue. You know what was my, always my favorite thing? I had the...
Colonel Mustard?
No, my... I had the...
Did it with the pipe in the conservatory?
I had the extended version with more rooms and people and weapons. So every time I'd do the same thing, I'd say Sergeant Gray did it in the fountain with the horseshoe.
That's the name of this episode.
Because I always said if that occurred, that'd be the most awesome thing I ever heard. Like a cop has a gun. He's like, no, I can't do it like that. And he just starts whacking him with a horseshoe in the middle of a fountain. Damn, he really hated Mr. Body.
The only thing that sucked about like having Clue in games like that when you're a kid, you always needed like four people to play with. It wasn't like even like a one-on-one game. Like, I guess you could maybe.
I played one-on-one games, and it's just you just play dickhead moves because when it would have somebody go in the room that would have, and I'd keep on playing like weapons and character cards, so they'd sit in there for like 20 plays, and all. Nope. Oh, by the way, got the conservatory.
It would take me a refresher to remember how to play Clue exactly again. But that would be another funny. We should get like a bunch of comics to come play Clue one night.
Let's do it.
All right, you got something?
Yeah, Scott, are you familiar with the game? The initials FMK.
FMK. No.
Fuck, Mary, Kill.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I kind of got a game here, but instead of giving you like different celebrity names,
I never knew it as the initials. Like I always called Fuck, Mary, Kill.
I've heard it as the initials.
You're more advanced.
I am, man. I mean, that room. I'm
this is what we play. We play IT FMK all day long. We send it over the internet, though. Yep.
But right. Instead of celebrity women, what I'm going to do is I've had different stories I've looked up on the internet, and I want you from there to determine.
Fuck. Marry. Or kill.
Are you ready to play, Scott?
I'm ready. I'm into
it. All right.
Wait, so who am I selecting from? Non-celebrities?
Yeah, I'm going to just tell you some stuff I've found on the internet.
Okay.
And based on that, you have to make the determination.
All right, I'm ready.
Number
I'm
one.
Stop, because I got to pee. All right, we're back. Well, it's because you don't have headphones in.
What?
Yes.
When have you played the Walking Dead theme? I would not hear it.
I got out of that page, so
okay, so I'm safe for now.
Yes.
All
right. Right, so what are we doing here?
I'm going to be telling you three different women involved in either stories or descriptions or anything like that. You have to tell me which one would you fuck, which one would you marry, and which one would you kill. Scott Brennan, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to play.
All right. First three options. Option one, known as the female sofa. A 500-pound woman from Illinois was examined in hospital. During the examination, an asthma inhaler fell out of her armpit. A dime was found under one of her breasts. And a remote control was found lodged between the folds of her vulva.
Remote control, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, the story was woman causes flight diversion to DIA all because of a cat. A passenger on the flight to Germany from Las Vegas shot video of a clearly agitated woman taken off the Concorde Airlines flight that landed prematurely in Denver. The female passenger was reportedly demanding to be seated with the comfort of her cat. At one point, she reportedly slapped a flight attendant. Another passenger told the news station she threw a paper cup at the attendant. The flight was escorted down with two F-16s flying out of a Buckley Air Force Base. Passengers learned that flight was landing in Denver through an onboard screen.
Nice.
Third person. Woman allegedly bit Macy's employee over Michael Kors' bag price. A Northern California woman was arrested after allegedly biting a Macy's employee in a Newark store because she was upset over the price of a purse, police said Thursday. Police said this woman became enraged over the price of a Michael Kors, or is that Kohl's?
Kohl's,
yeah, I thought. Handbag while she was shopping at the New Park Mall department store Wednesday evening.
The woman reportedly was yelling and screaming profanities at a store employee and manager and threw herself on the floor. When loss prevention officers responded, the lady allegedly bit one of the officers on the leg and scratched him, causing a laceration, according to the police.
All right.
So, Scott, sofa lady, cat woman on flight, and the biting girl.
All right, I got this. I got this.
All right.
All right. So here's my thinking here.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I got to fuck, marry, kill. And the one I'm going to kill instantly, the one I'm going to kill.
All right.
Is the cat lady.
Okay.
Okay. Because I've dealt with cat ladies in my life. You know, not feeling the cat ladies. Cat ladies kind of creep me out. You know, you're going to fly with your cat. You know, if there was a way for the F-16s to just shoot her through the plane, that should happen.
They should have the air marshal on the wing at all times, just pointing at every passenger.
Yep. So I would easily dump her.
Killing the kitty.
Dump her in the Atlantic.
All right.
Okay. Now, I came up with a theory here.
All right.
The woman I would like to make love to is the biting woman.
All right.
Now, here's the reason.
Do tell.
Here's the reason. She seems like she has a little bit of passion in her. Mm-hmm. She has a little bit of fire, okay? You know, she might be very good in the bedroom, we could say. You know, maybe she's a little crazy, but it might be a good experience for me. Not that I want to be bit, but she seems like she has a little bit more spunk.
So what if, like, say, you have an evening out with this lady and you promise her wonderful gifts and then you come back with something cheap and she's aware of it?
Well, that's the risk I'm going to have to take for one night. And then the girl I'm going to marry, here's my reasoning, is the sofa lady.
Okay.
Because she's, you know, maybe her ways of saving money are a little weird. She's saving an hoarding thing.
A dime up the breast, okay.
Yeah. You know, she's got the remote. She cares about me. So she might be more of a woman like, hey, babe, I need a little bit of money. Boop. Flips that out of the boob. Hey, you know, I want to watch some TV. Whoop. Out of the armpit or whatever it was. And, you know, maybe she could provide for me.
Okay.
She could provide for me. So that is my answer.
She's not going anywhere that way. So.
That's it. So she would be my spouse.
So we are marrying the female sofa lady. Yep. We are killing the cat lady.
100%.
And we are fucking the Michael Kors bag lady.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yep.
And as you understand, I'm leaving out some details because the cat lady was apparently a famous European model.
Well, you left out that detail, but she's still a cat lady.
We're going by the stories. We're not going by the looks.
She still is a cat lady.
All right. That was fun. You want to do another one?
Let's do another one.
All right. Here's your three choices. This was titled Growing Season. A woman in North Carolina ER complained of green vines growing from her vagina. Investigation revealed a large potato trapped in her womb. The woman suddenly remembered that she had inserted it 2 weeks previously because she thought her uterus was falling out.
So like a blocker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stopgap.
Right.
You know?
A cork.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, Texas woman arrested for stealing a crazy amount of sausage from her workplace. Kimberly Carrillo stole $3,000 worth of sausage from her employer, the amazingly named Kibasa Provisioning Company.
Mm.
Carrillo was arrested after another employee of the company saw her allegedly attempting to sell the sausages at a nearby gas station.
Okay.
Gas station sausage is amazing.
That's fine.
And the third one is just a guy describing a girl he broke up with. She videotaped herself flushing all my pet fish down the toilet. She flushed them alive of all of my fish and videotaped her doing it. She then sent me the video. I had pet fish from before we got together. When we moved in together, I brought in my tank. When we eventually broke up, I was the one who left the apartment because I had a closer living situation I could move into. I was to come by on Saturday to move all of my things, including my fish. Thursday night comes and I get an email with a video in it. I open it to see my fish in a kitchen pot in the bathroom. She proceeds to pour them all into the toilet, and I click away. I couldn't watch. I called her a dozen times to no answer. Saturday comes. She's not there as planned, and neither are my fish.
All right.
All right, so all right. Potatoes, sausage, or fish on the menu. All
right, right away, I got the kill one right off the bat.
Let's hear it, man. All right,
fucking potato crotch has to go. Has to go. I can't be dealing with a woman who's making love to starchy vegetables. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to catch from that. You know, the potato famine
killed... Carbs.
Potatoes killed a lot of Irish guys. We don't need one more. So, she's gone.
All right, all right.
Okay. So what are the other two? The other two are sausage.
Are the sausage lady and the flushing your fish down the toilet.
All right. I got this. All right. The woman I'm going to marry is the sausage lady.
That makes sense, kind of.
Now, here's the sausage lady. I like sausage. I like spicy sausage. I like breakfast sausage. Right. So she seems like a provider. Maybe she was providing for her family. Maybe she wanted to make some money. Maybe she was in a desperate time. She might not be a bad woman.
She just needs to work on how she smuggles away her sausage.
Right. I mean, I don't really want to know the details how she smuggles her sausage, but...
Didn't we have a different story with eyeballs?
Yeah. But she's going to be my spouse. And then...
So you're going to have sex with the fish lady.
I'm going to have sex with the fish lady again in a similar vein. She seems a little bit creative, at least.
Where are you going to put Obi in this scenario?
No, I'll try to leave him out of it. But she seems to...
She's passionate.
She seems to have an imaginative mind. And, you know, when it comes to love life, you gotta keep it fresh. So this woman's going to keep fresh fish all day long. Those are my choices.
All right. So potato dies. Sausage lives with you forever. Fish lady for one night.
One night fish lady. I've heard that before.
I got two more sets of these. You want to keep going?
All right. So at least do another one.
All right. Option one, left boob of a woman moves to her back resulted from a breast implant error. A woman from a city in eastern Fujian province had a breast implant.
Fujian?
Yeah.
I never knew that's what you called people from Fuji.
Guess so.
I don't know.
Or Fujian. No, there's an I in there.
Whatever.
Fujian.
Okay.
Had a breast implant 13 years ago, and gel... as called Amazing Gel, was implanted in her breast. Unfortunately, the gel began to move over to her back 1 year ago. Around 700 milliliters of rotten tissue and liquids, which were in her, had been taken out due to surgery.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Second woman. A woman was attacked and buried alive by a bear while she was walking her dog, according to Russian media. This lady was collecting birch sap with a friend in the forest region
Naturally.
Of Siberia when her pet began to bark. A bear reportedly had targeted the dog before attacking the 50-some-year-old lady, causing serious injuries to her stomach, legs, and head. Apparently in an effort to hide his prey to eat later, the wild animal then covered the mother of two with soil.
Okay. Okay.
The friend managed to escape.
He didn't know it was a mother
or
two. Okay. He didn't know it was a mother or two.
You love your bears.
Don't get angry at the bears. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
And this last one, a lady in Las Vegas, in a near suburb, has 35,000 non-duplicated fridge magnets that she has been collecting since the 1970s. For some reason, her nickname is the Magnet Lady.
Okay, I got this one.
All right, so your choices are back boob, bear attack, or magnet lady.
All right. One I'm going to kill right off the bat. I like to start with the kill because it gets rid of one.
All right.
All right. I'm going to kill the magnet lady.
Really?
Because the magnet lady, similar to the cat lady, creeps me out a little bit. Okay? Collections are weird. People who collect things, like, too much, they're a little weird. They get a little obsessed with it. I feel like it's one of those ladies who collects cats or collects, you know, like treasure trolls or something like that. Mm-hmm. Magnet lady, just go. Plus, right. I feel like if I was with the magnet lady, all that magnetism in the house has to be bad for me. All
right.
Okay. All those different things pulling together.
Gotta How'd have, I get brain cancer again?
Exactly. Got to have effect on the pancreas or something. Okay. Now, let's see. So we
got boob back and woman who got buried by a bear.
All right, this is easy for me. Okay,
right.
Boob back. I'm gonna have a one night stand with the boob back because
I'm gonna agree with you on that.
You know what? Never had a back boob in my life before.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making out and you still can feel her up.
Right. Like, let's say I wanted to do something from behind. Mm. I get best of both worlds there.
Yeah.
Which means...
you got to spend the rest of your life with a woman freaking out by bears or any kind
Wait,
of animals.
Wait, but didn't she get buried?
She got buried, but she lived.
Oh. Damn. See, I was just hoping she was just dead and I'd just be alone and appreciative of the bear.
I'd like to marry the bear.
I mean, the bear can get along.
Yeah.
No, I'll feed him.
I hate women too, man.
I like bears. The bear didn't do anything wrong. You know, he just was using his primal instinct. So I'm going to marry Bear Lady. And you know what? If I don't like her, I'll just take her to a very bear-infested area and hopefully get rid of her.
Okay.
So that's it.
See, I'm going to disagree. I would probably marry the Magnet Lady and kill off the Bear Lady.
Okay.
And my thought process is she's going to spend the rest of her life freaking out and stuff, and I can't imagine spending a lifetime dealing with that.
Okay.
I got to guess one of those magnets are worth a couple bucks down the road.
There's no way. There's no way. It's just she collects crappy magnets from gas stations, and that's probably it for her.
All right. I got one
last
more.
One.
All right. Number one, a woman has stunned doctors by swallowing what looks like a unicorn horn from her head. The villager, best known to local residents as the Unicorn Woman, since has this abnormal growth has appeared and taken over the top of her head.
Hmm.
Although the 13-centimeter long single mass is already a massive size, medical professionals are baffled by its appearance.
All right.
Number two, a Utah woman is accused of trying to start a fire inside of her ex-boyfriend's house by burning bacon. Coincidentally, the woman's name is Camille Adewin Crispy. But Crispy wasn't able to get the bacon crispy enough to burn the house down before police showed up.
Gotcha.
Crispy began texting and calling her ex-boyfriend from the house. The man wasn't home and called the police to say he didn't want her in the house. When the officers arrived, there was smoke flowing out the door and a pound of burned bacon on the stove. And number three, you might take some time to process this. I forgot to get the link on this one, but a woman called up an editor of the Suffolk Times, recording as he recorded her call, screaming her about the spelling of there. I can't find in any dictionary, and I went to college, and I was taught it was T-H-I-E-R. Incapable of believing what he was hearing, White recommended she Google it. The woman said, wow, okay, well, I already know that I'm correct. She scolded his unprofessionalism on the call and asked him where he went to school and called him a fucking baby.
Okay, this is a little tougher.
All right, so you got Unicorn Lady, Bacon Burner, and I Know How to Spell.
All right. Going for my kill.
All right.
All right, I'm throwing a kill shot to the Bacon Lady.
Really?
You know why? Because she wants to kill me, and she burned a whole lot of delicious bacon.
Hmm.
You know, she wasted something, and she's a little bit of a maniac. I never know what she's going to try to kill me next. She might team up with the sausage lady, my wife, burn me down with pork products. Not down with it. Okay.
Not in the Brennan fold?
No.
All right.
Now, I was thinking about killing the spelling lady because it just reminds me of hanging out with Doug Max, who's obsessed with spelling of words.
He might be able to get with this one. He might fuck this woman.
Right. So what I would do is I'm going to sleep with the spelling lady.
All right. And then shove it in Doug
Max's
face.
And then shove it in Doug Max's face.
Doug, it was the best sex of my life, and she has no idea how to spell.
And I put it there, there, and there, and there with an I. So I guess I'm stuck
with
my lovely, delicious pony woman. Me and the pony woman, baby. And
I'll put it up on our Twitter, but I'll show a picture of Scott.
Oh, God. Wow, she's old.
Again, I wasn't going to put, like, big ages or anything like that. I was just going by the story.
Well, you know what? People got to be open these days, and maybe she could do things with the horn that I have no idea about in my life. So, me and the unicorn lady, you know, here's the other option. Maybe she develops into a full-grown pony, and I could just ride her around.
Ride her around. Save gas money.
Ride around, save gas money, park her, you know, chain her to the wherever I go, feed her some hay. And, you know what? Maybe she'll just not talk anymore and just... That's it. That's what I'm going with.
All right, Scott. You have successfully gone through fuck, marry, kill on Verbal Shenanigans.
I say yeah.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
Wow. I like that. That was intense. The last one was the hardest one for me.
Yeah, I forgot to get one other one. I didn't fully fill it out, but I'll show you what one of your options would have been.
Oh, weird hands or
something.
Yeah,
this woman has some kind of development of her arms. It looks like Popeye, basically.
Or they look like briskets, like or pig hoofs, you know?
Yeah, I'll put this up on our Twitter and our account as well. Some of these pictures we've gone through on FMK.
Yeah, FMK went well. And I, you know, I had one more story, but I'm going to save that for next time.
All right.
And I think it's coming in the end here. So, Michael Berlow, anything to promote?
Trying to think. I'm going to have to think about it for a minute. Why don't you go?
That's all right. I'm going to be at Rocking Joe's in Union on September 19th, and I'll have at least one date at Bust a Gut Comedy Club coming up. Down in Ocean, New Jersey, so down the shore for any of you people who are what some people call South Jersey, but really kind of in the middle there in South Jersey. And I will be there. And I want to promote Tooth Grinder. They're going on their world tour. World tour. They're going to go on their
United States is part
United
of the
United States and even a date or two in Canada. So I wish those guys the best of luck. And once again, I will promote Turn Towards the Sun, the Mickey Burns film, which should be coming into theaters, probably in the city and whatnot. So if you guys can go see that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll be in Rockin' Joe's in December. And I guess if you're interested in what my Tonight on the Walking Dead looks like, you can go to my Facebook comedian page, www.facebook.com/TheBurls721. That's DABURLS 721.
Yes. So we learned a lot tonight. We learned about the sausage lady. We learned about The Walking Dead a whole lot. And we learned about and I'll also promote, why not? I'll promote Exit Strategy. Great place to go.
Yeah.
Great hour to kill. Not far away. And it's right about around a bunch of restaurants and bars. Great little area. And, that's an excellent place to go. And I think that's it. If you can keep following us on iTunes and Twitter at VS Comedy. And what really helps, leave a review, damn it. Hopefully a good one, but leave a review. It helps us populate into different other things. And give us a review.
And it's a new month. Go on podcast land and vote for us so we can win this podcast of the month.
That's it. We're going to get this one. We'll start really promoting it again soon, maybe. Maybe this month. But anyway, people, life is funny. Laugh at it.
Tooth Grinder!
She's a sausage lady. Or a unicorn. Or she was killed by a bear but somehow made it, unfortunately.
Sofa lady!